Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
It sure is. We had I thought a powerful show last week from the prophet Joel about repentance and rending your heart instead of your garments. And I think it was a good way to start out this Lenten season that we're in now.
Right.
And since I mentioned that, I think it's good that I've noticed a lot more churches are now having Advent, a lot of different denominations.
Yeah.
A lot of different denominations are getting back to having like a Lenten season before. And I think it's good, you know, as, because traditionally in Christianity, you know, we've gone through a church calendar.
Right.
That all the main denominations have always had, but now even the smaller ones are doing, where it gives you kind of a rhythm to your year, like the people in Israel did.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, there's a rhythm to the worship. There's a rhythm to the ritual that they, that God prescribed for them because they need it.
Yes.
And we need it.
Yes. And the feast days were set up in a certain way. And so everyone knew, you know, you had the Sabbath every week and then you had the seven feasts and, you know, your life goes in this rhythm, especially with the Sabbath.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, God set up that pattern because of God's wisdom, because he knew the people would fall back and rebel and sin. And they still did.
And you see how they did.
But they're still, but in God's wisdom, he knew that that would help them.
Yes.
And then when you, as you see, as the church moved further away from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, well, people kind of had their own ideas. Well, we don't need to be, why do we do all these ritual things we don't understand?
Yeah.
Well, there's things that you do, you should understand them, but you need to study them so that you do understand them. But there's a reason why they're there.
Yes.
It's not because you're doing things that you don't understand. It's because they've been set forth generations before you.
Yes.
And there's a purpose for them. And like anything else, if you don't understand the purpose and the reason for something that's been handed on to you, you're likely to discard it and then fall back into the same sin.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, Lent is pointing toward Good Friday and Resurrection Day. And it gives you a period of time where you think, I should start thinking about that.
Yeah.
And it gives you a time to kind of reflect on your life and reflect on what you've been doing and reflect on your conduct and reflect on your spiritual life and think, you know, I need a little more discipline with this. I need to do a little less of that. I need to do a little more of that. And over a period of time, you develop these spiritual disciplines like the prophet Joel here talks about, where, you know, God says through him that not only do you rend your heart and not just your garment, but that you come in fasting and mourning and repentance.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the key, because I think, especially in our culture, like we talked about in some of those previous shows recently, we tend to have a lot of independence and think highly of ourselves and think that we're in charge of our lives and think, oh, well, yeah, you know, Jesus will be okay with that. You know, after all, everything's covered by grace.
Yeah.
Everything's cool. I'm saved. Everybody's happy. Now let's go out to brunch.
And I know I've told you this, but as one person once told me, they said, well, you seem like you're really concerned for our souls.
Yes.
And I said, well, yeah, I am. They said, well, you don't need to be. We're good people.
Yeah.
Well, not that I don't think you're a good person, but there's still a battle that goes on for everybody's soul.
Yeah.
And so I want to say people, we can be naive spiritually and not really understand the trickery and the subtlety of the enemy to tempt us away slowly and methodically, really.
Yes. Yeah. I keep thinking, we mentioned it periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were doing the show, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I brought up that usual thing we do about how Satan uses the same strategy he used with Eve because it works.
Right.
And, you know, I thought about that for quite a long time, kind of on a day-to-day basis, and I realized that this is very powerfully true because you hear all around you, oh, come on, does God really mean that? You know, does he, is that what that really means? And even if you say, yes, that's what it really means, you know, then the next thing is, oh, come on now. What's with that? You know, why would he want to do that? Why would he be, then you start to think, well, I don't know, why would he want to do that?
Oh, well, we've progressed further than that now, haven't we?
Yeah. So you can imagine Eve. Eve didn't know, you know, I mean, Eve was probably much more intelligent than we are, and she fell for it.
Yeah.
But you hear this all around, and I get into so many conversations with people who say, well, I know the Bible says that, but couldn't this also mean this other thing?
Yeah.
Or how do you know this means that?
Yeah.
And so when you hear that enough times, you can say, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what it means.
Yeah. And as when there's that much doubt, then you start to question. And that's all Satan needs.
Yeah.
And he's got you.
Yeah. But in this passage you read, and probably should read it again, because I love this thing about blowing the trumpet.
There's so many chapters in Joel. Which one will we read?
I got three in my translation, and this is chapter two.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm thinking about Isaiah. Sorry. Oh, my. All right, so this is from Joel chapter
2. You guys are probably all thinking, good thing we don't go to any of their Bible studies.
Yeah, right. So this is from Joel 2, beginning in chapter 12. Yet even now, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. And return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and libation for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elderly, gather the children, even infants nursing at the breast, like the bridegroom, leave his room, and the bride her bridal tent. Between the porch and the altar, let the priest weep, let the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, Lord. Do not let your heritage become a disgrace, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? You want me to read further? Let me go to the next one. Then the Lord grew jealous for his land and took pity on his people. In response, the Lord said to his people, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. Never again will I make you a disgrace among the nations.
So this idea of calling an assembly, you know, we talked about this last week, but it bears repeating a little bit. Blowing the shofar, getting people's attention, calling the assembly. And it says the priests are supposed to be weeping. They're not supposed to be talking about how God wants you to be rich and to have boats and bonuses and big retirement accounts and big mansions.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be weeping. They're supposed to be leading the people in mourning and fasting and repentance. Not saying, oh, we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments anymore because we're Christians. We're not under the law. So, oh, don't worry about that. You know, grace covers it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like skating on the pond and wondering how thick the ice is when you go a little bit further. But, you know, I don't want to get into all that again. But the idea here is all ages are supposed to come. The children, even the infants that are still nursing are supposed to come.
Yeah.
The bride and groom are supposed to come. So young adults and older people are supposed to come. Now, you know, in this time, you know, if you were in your 40s, you were one of the older people.
Yeah.
But the issue is every age group has to come to this assembly in order to weep and mourn and repent. And we understand that, and I'm not saying that grace, I'm not saying that grace does not cover us, because it most certainly does, and grace is available for us, but this should be our attitude, what he describes here.
Right.
This should be the attitude we have toward our own behavior, our own lives, our own sin, and even national sins, even sins yeah. within the church, even sins within the world. This is the attitude that right. we should have.
Yeah, you know, I can't receive God's grace because you asked for it.
Right.
I have to come humbly before God and exactly. ask for it. And this is where people start to, I think, get a little bit, you know, a gray area with God's grace. You can't presume God's mercy. You can't do something and go, well, God's going to forgive you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's not asking for forgiveness.
No. That's a sin of presumption.
That's presuming yeah. that God's going to forgive you. He very well might, but if you don't come to him with a humble heart and ask him for forgiveness,
yes.
you're not receiving forgiveness.
Yes.
You know. And then there's the other part of the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm-hmm.
So God, forgive me my transgressions against you to the same degree that I forgive my brothers and sisters who have transgressed against me. I want the same amount of forgiveness from you, Father, that I give to others.
No.
Yeah.
It puts you in a bad position.
it puts all of us in a bad position because we play, you know, we like to play games with our spiritual heritage, with our spiritual, you know, we want to play games with God. And try to hide things from him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. Because he knows everything. He sees everything. Mm-hmm. He knows the depth of my heart.
Yes.
But yet, God's a gentleman. And he's waiting for me to say, Lord, come into this area of my life because I've been holding on to this because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sinful, but I like it.
Sure.
And I don't want to give it up yet.
Yeah.
And the Lord's just waiting for you. Are you tired of it yet? Are you tired of living like that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
And he waits.
Yeah.
And so coming to him and rending your heart and not your garment is availing myself to God and saying, Lord, all that I have is yours. Heal me in this area. Heal me in that area, because those are where I fall. Mm-hmm. Those are where I'm tempted the most.
Mm-hmm.
And God will come in and heal those areas for you. And that's availing yourself to God's mercy.
Yes.
And God's grace.
Excellent point. It reminds me of, I'm sure you've all heard this. I think about this often because I don't know where I originally heard it, but when somebody comes to your house to visit, and you say, make yourself at home. You're trying to be hospitable and welcoming, but you mm-hmm. don't really mean it. I mean, you don't expect the guy to get up and say, oh, okay, I think I'll go in the kitchen and, you know, cook up some burgers, or let's see what you got in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to go up to that upstairs bedroom and take a look at what you have in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
No, what you want him to do is make himself at home in this particular room.
Exactly.
And yeah. and the way I originally heard this, which always stays in my mind, is we ask Jesus into our heart and say, well, I'm going to follow you and I want you to be Lord of my life and I want to surrender everything to you, but I am not going to let you, you know, I don't want you to like see everything and touch everything.
Right.
Just like stay in these couple of rooms here and then, you know, forget about what's in that closet upstairs and forget about what's outside in the backyard.
It's like the messy room that everybody has and you go,
yes.
shut the door because,
yes, that's right.
Don't let anybody in there and see it because it's a mess. Well, God yeah. already knows it's a mess.
Like when home group's coming and everything.
You throw everything in that one room and you go, oh my God, I'll get it later. But really, that's the room that we don't want to let God in
that's
because
right.
we're ashamed of it.
That's right.
It's like, oh, that's a mess. I can't let anybody see that. They're yeah. going to think that, oh, well, I have a mess.
Yeah, that's right. And we all have those in our hearts, in our minds.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's, well, I enjoy this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he can have control of some of our stuff, but this particular thing I'm going to stay in control of because
yeah.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, there, we have to be honest. There's an attraction to sin.
Oh, yes.
If there wasn't, we wouldn't do it.
Well, you know, another good thing, and this doesn't come from Joel. It comes from Augustine, St. Augustine, who, of course, is the great Augustine. And very difficult to read his writings, I have to admit. But one thing was so powerful was the fact that he said that when he was growing up, there was an orchard next to his property, to his parents' property, mm-hmm. where they grew pears. And he and his little friend would sneak into the orchard and take pears off the trees. Mm-hmm. And the guy who owned the orchard would come and yell at him and chase him away like you would chase kids away from something.
Right.
And then they would go back. And he said they would take these pears and they would take them home. And then you can picture there's like this little pause. And he says, the problem was that I didn't like pears, so I didn't even eat them. He goes, I just liked the thrill of stealing them.
Oh, jeez.
And I thought, wow, isn't that our Adam nature?
Mm-hmm.
There's this certain thrill of this sin.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, you say, well, I had this great thrill, but I'm not going to eat the pears because I don't really like them. I just like getting the pears.
Yeah. And I was going to say, the devil makes sin alluring.
Yes.
And tempting.
Yes.
But once you grow in holiness, once you really turn to God and you ask the Holy Spirit into your life to show you and to, you know, sanctify you mm-hmm. and ask God's grace to help you with these mm-hmm. areas, the sin starts to become, you see the sin for what it is, and it becomes ugly.
Yes.
And you see the ugliness of it.
Well.
And you don't want it anymore.
And we all have that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the last couple of decades that were leaders in churches, you know, were pastors, were priests or whatever it was, and they had some kind of moral fall, whether it was sexual or financial or no matter what it was.
Yeah.
And they always say, well, you know, for a while, it was really going well, and I thought I had everything under control. And then something happened where I realized, oh, or somebody found something out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody knew what I had been doing, and it didn't give – after that, it didn't give pleasure anymore. But you know, I always heard this, like, I had everything under control. You know, for a couple of years, I had it all planned out. Everything was going well.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's our Adam nature.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we got to rend our heart and not our garments.
Right.
And we may have to rend our heart today. We may have to rend it again next week. We may mm-hmm. have to rend it again tomorrow. But that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, some people are healed over time.
Yes.
Because they,
yes.
That's just how God does it.
Yes.
Some people are in a place where they've like got in, he comes in, he cleans house,
yeah.
And boom, they're
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're set free. Other people, it's a gradual process
yes.
because they might not be willing to give up stuff.
That's right.
So it's all dependent upon our willingness to abandon our heart to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's willing.
Yes.
Most of the times we're not.
And Joel points this out.
Yeah.
He may relent from doing you harm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they're living in a covenant of law. We have way more stuff than they did.
Yeah.
Because we have grace and mercy and a whole different – you can't compare the covenant that you had before the cross to the covenant you have after the cross in terms of what you have access to.
Right, because one is with Jesus Christ
yes.
and one isn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we rend our hearts in a totally different way
yeah.
than if you've messed up on some of the 613 laws.
And see, Jesus always told anybody that he set free and healed, go and sin no more.
Right. Yes.
He exactly. didn't say, well, you know, I healed you. I set you free. And you know, if you want to return to what you're doing, I guess it's okay
yeah,
because
I
can't.
Okay.
I can't tell you what to do.
Yes, I don't want to hurt
you
your feelings.
I don't want to hurt your feelings. No, he said, "Go and sin no more."
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, a couple times he says that if you return, it might be worse for you.
Yes,
if you return to what you were doing before,
mm-hmm.
it's probably going to be worse for you.
Yeah.
So there's very specific.
And Joel goes on to say that he lists a whole bunch of blessings coming, which he lists a lot of material blessings and spiritual blessings. And then in verse 27 in my translation, it says, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God. There is no other. So you're going to know that because of your repentance and because of how you rent your heart, I'm doing these things for you. And then it comes to the clincher of this whole chapter. In your case, it might be two chapters, but it got the clincher of this whole chapter. And Peter preaches this on Pentecost morning. It shall come to pass afterwards, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I pour out my spirit in those days. So spirit is then poured out on all flesh. And this is why at Pentecost morning, Peter says, these men are not drunk. What you see here is what the prophet Joel talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pouring out of the spirit comes after there's been repentance and after grace has been given to you.
Yeah.
And then you're filled with the spirit. And in an Old Testament context, while Joel was writing this, he wouldn't have had comprehension of the full meaning of this like we do. Mm-hmm. We know what it means to have the Spirit poured out on us. Joel had the Spirit poured out on him in order to say this and to write this, but he didn't have the complete understanding. I mean, here you see all different age groups, men and women, you know, servants, free people, you know, whoever it is, the Spirit's going to be poured out on.
Yeah.
If you've rent your heart and if you've fasted and if you've mourned and if you've repented. And when Peter talks about this, the people are cut to the heart after this whole long sermon. They say, brothers, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, because he describes that this is what the prophet Joel talks about, what just happened here that you guys witnessed. And it's not because these guys are drunk. This is what Joel was talking about. But then he gets to the repent part of it. He had an assembly, you know, 3,000 people were saved that day. We don't know how many people he talked to, but he had a big assembly of people, and he tells them they have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how you look at it in our churches today, there's very little talk about repentance. There's very little talk about sin. There's very little talk about repentance.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about Ezekiel in chapter 37, where there's the dry bones.
Yes.
And God has Ezekiel prophesy over them. And they come together, but the flesh comes on them. And, let's see. As I watch.
They rattle.
As soon as it appeared to them, flesh grew over them, skin covered them on top. But there was no breath in them. There was no life in them.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what you're saying there about Jesus coming with the Spirit, or the Spirit coming, that's God giving us new life.
Yes.
That's the new wine that he wants to put into a new wineskin,
because
he wants to transform us. Because he can't pour new wine into the old wineskin because of our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to do some housekeeping. He has to clean us up a little bit and then pour the new wine in.
Yeah.
And so when we have the new wine of the Spirit, then, like Peter, we too can proclaim what God wants us to say without studying about it.
Woo.
That's so
awesome.
As you're saying this, you know, repentance, it all fits together. That God can make us a new creation in his son, in and through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And Joel points out at the end that he says, at the end of this chapter, in my translation, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
And in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, the Lord has said.
Amen.
Ooh. Now, Joel couldn't have understood all that. We understand if we call on his name, we could be saved.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is over already.
Now, how many chapters are there in Joel?
I got three.
Okay.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as Ezekiel prophesied over the dry bones and as Joel talks about repentance, that our hearts would be repentant and return to the Lord and seek him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength to do his will through his son, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.